Welcome to Ben and Jerry's I Hate Black People.
Excuse me?
Oh, all of the white employees are required to admit to our internalized racism store policy. Would you like some ice cream created from ingredients the West procured through violent colonization?
I guess?
Yeah, I bet you would, you piece of shit. We have chocolate ally and vanilla guilt.
Look, I just want some ice cream. Can we leave the politics out of this?
Well, when politics is a matter of life and death for millions of marginalized people, we as the privileged kind of have an obligation not to ignore it, don't we?
I'll take vanilla guilt.
Of course you want the white flavor.
I knew it. Chocolate! I'll take chocolate!
Ah, because when you see anything brown, your first instinct is to exploit and consume it. Excellent choice.
I'm leaving.
Did I mention that as a socialist franchise, we've made all of our ice cream free?
I will stay.
Boop-a-doop-a-doop. All of the world's cocoa beans were obtained by exploiting the Native Americans who we killed. All right, here is your ice cream cone.
You've got to be kidding me.
Look, we just want our product to match our ideology.
Well, it's empty.
So is our worldview.
Hey folks, thank you so much for watching. If you enjoyed this cartoon, please like, share, subscribe, leave a comment. And if you want to help us make more and get access to behind the scenes content, donate at patreon.com/freedomtoon. Thank you so much.
Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I teased this a couple times. Sorry I didn't get to it earlier. I'll do it really fast. Millennials moving out of big cities. That started before COVID and has accelerated with COVID. But where are millennials going? It used to be New York, Chicago, L.A. You knew the places that young, ambitious people who wanted the bright lights of the big city were headed. Not anymore. They're headed to Texas, Colorado, Washington, and Arizona, specifically Denver, Seattle, Phoenix, Austin saw the biggest bump. For instance, this list, Austin, Phoenix, Nashville, and Tampa, three of those four towns I personally know people that are headed to.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and the country's going to look different. A lot of those places that they were going were too crowded, but I don't know how all that works out with the rents and the office space and stuff like that. The shakeout on that is going to be crazy.
Yeah, I think you'll probably see different numbers in about a year, given the sea changes in what you're talking about during the COVID thing and working remotely and the rest of it and
yep.
Plunging. I mean, San Francisco rents are down like 30% to 35% year over year. I mean, that's a catastrophic drop and or a great opportunity. And Manhattan's the same, as I understand it. Anyway, we have a lot of good stuff to get to this hour. Jim Jordan and Anthony Fauci in a no-holds-barred cage match.
Fight!
Bring that to you, among other things. But first, let's take a fond look back at the week that was. It's Cow. Clips of the Week.
Come on, kid, do it.
Okay, well, what else would we be talking about?
I'm here to promote my album.
You're hard on Ted Cruz.
You mean Lucifer in the flesh.
I do believe in Marxism. It's a philosophy that I learned really early on in my organizing career.
From what I viewed and the officer's reaction and distress immediately after, that this was an accidental discharge that resulted in a tragic death.
You know, I'm appreciative of the officer stepping down. That was the right thing to do.
Y'all need to get up out of here with all that twisting up the media shit.
Okay.
Real shit.
You don't know me.
De minimis, de minimis, de minimis.
Coinbase will be about the same market cap as Goldman Sachs.
I know when I turn on a game, I want to watch a game. I want to watch players play.
Separation, sanitation, ventilation.
Stay-at-home moms and dads should also have the opportunity to have LinkedIn do absolutely nothing for them.
If your parent wants to come talk to me about how I'm not doing a good enough job in distance learning based on what you need as an individual, just dare them to come at me.
After your biased piece on Governor DeSantis, I will only watch it one more time.
How is Babby formed?
Though a bed and breakfast where a murder happened is pretty much just a day's end.
Why would I listen to a guy who's eaten 30,000 tacos or whatever you did?
I
It's raining tacos.
No, it's not.
Out of the sky.
I
said, among with others, we'd follow Osama bin Laden to the gates of hell if need be. That was 10 years ago.
But the options are high risk, medium risk, and low risk to the American homeland. President Biden, unfortunately, has chosen the highest risk option available.
You really just put the duck in there? Bro, put the duck back.
I believe the ginger assassin can drop the seven. Oh, man.
It's cow. Clips of the week.
I probably smoke more Parmesan cheese than anyone. Anyone that you know, I'm sure, Tracy.
Donald Trump's statement. Happy Easter to all, including the radical left crazies who rigged our presidential election and want to destroy our country.
Just don't ask me to play the piano or the organ. I can't. Don't know how. My father would say I have no talent at all.
And Joe Biden's broken his own rule 84 days. And now he's lying to the American people, George. He's lying about this bill.
Sorry I'm late. I just found a big walnut in the parking lot. I was chasing it around for 2 hours.
I truly believe in my heart most white people and black people are awesome people. But we're so stupid following our politicians, whether they're Republicans or Democrats.
Folks said, Joe, that's not a walnut. That's a dirty rock. Yeah, right. If it's a rock, then why is my mouth watering?
By no reasonable stretch can you compare the voting regimen in Georgia today, the voting regime in Georgia today, to what was going on during Jim Crow. It is outrageous exaggeration at best.
I think it's sick for the President of the United States, Joe Biden, who's been a friend for years, to say that what they're doing in Georgia is Jim Crow 2.0.
Just because he's got money don't mean those homeless people don't have rights.
They want to go after this bill and message about how it's not really infrastructure, that only 5% is going to traditional infrastructure. Will the rest of the Republican Party follow suit, or are they going to be talking about the All-Star game?
We're taking down the coronavirus like I took down a fella on my block called Kansas City Dennis.
Do I think that Matt Gaetz looks like a guy who shows photos of naked women to people at work? Yes. But do I think that he would have paid for sex? Yeah, definitely.
That in no way, shape, or form is anything that is by policy, is not part of our training, and it is certainly not part of our ethics or our values.
Every time a kid gets tossed into America, a coyote gets his wings.
You see, gum was new back then. But before gum, we used to just bite off a piece of a live pig's ear. Pretty easy to chew. The hard part was blowing bubbles.
Yeah, a little heavy on abuse of the POTUS there. I'm not sure I approve.
I'd say.
Mailbag.
Where's your respect for the office?
It's around here somewhere. Where's his? That's my question. Your freedom-loving quote of the day, wrapping up our series from the Marquis de Lafayette. He's talking about Frenchmen in this case, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to say Americans instead. Do not let us despair of the cause of liberty. It is still dear to the hearts of Americans, and we shall one day have the felicity of seeing it established in our beloved country. Now, I would amend that by saying not everybody loves liberty. A lot of people love the safety of servitude. It's up to us to fight that.
Currently a big debate on both sides of the Atlantic about the vaccine passport. No, not the vaccine. I'm not talking about the vaccine. I'm talking about the vaccine passport. According to the UK government, COVID passports will, quote, become a likely feature of our lives. This is what a mock-up of the vaccine passport looks like. Name, photograph, date of birth. Kind of reminds me of something. Something that starts with ID and ends in card. Oh yeah, it's a digital ID card. The same thing that in 2004 Boris Johnson said was, quote, a recipe for tyranny and oppression.
A recipe for tyranny and oppression as well. And that's why I oppose the scheme. I'm on record as saying that if I am, in the unlikely event that this scheme comes to fruition. If I'm obliged to have an ID card by the emanations of the state, then I will take that ID card and I will spin it up and I will grind it in a Grunex and I will eat it on my cornflakes.
So what changed, Boris? There are also plans to link it to the facial recognition surveillance network. The UK government has already given grants to two companies building this technology. Andrew Budd, the CEO of one of these companies, iProve, asserts that trying to check tens of thousands of vaccine passports at major events will be too slow. So digital face scans which permit entry will be introduced as the streamlined solution. And there you were thinking you'd happily show a small piece of paper to get into a football match. Without knowing, you just unwittingly stumbled into the Minority Report.
Stress out, John Anderton.
Escape from it all, Harrison.
Get away, John Anderton. Forget your troubles. What's so, John Anderton?
China, which has universally been praised by health authorities and governments in the West for its response to the COVID outbreak, has already linked its coronavirus tracking program to its social credit score system.
The idea that this could, for example, be used for totalitarian social monitoring, well, this has now become a reality in China. The local government of China's Jiangsu province has launched a new social control system that combines the CCP's health code program with the regime's social credit system to create what they're calling a, quote, civilization code. This new system gives people a civilization score, which ranks them into different levels. And this level is then used by the government to judge who gets priority or who should be subjected to restrictions or punishments.
What is the social credit score system? It's a centralized database linked to internet activity, purchase history, and general behavior, which punishes citizens for a whole host of minor infractions, including bad driving, smoking on trains, buying too many video games, buying too much junk food, buying too much alcohol, calling a friend who has a low social credit score, having a friend online who has a low social credit score, posting fake news online, visiting unauthorized websites, walking your dog without a leash, or letting your dog bark too much. And how do the authorities punish those who commit these deadly sins? In 2019, Beijing bragged about how it had prevented 2.5 million discredited entities from purchasing plane tickets and 90,000 people from buying high-speed train tickets in the month of July alone.
我现在是已经被限制这个自由的出行了，就是订票啊，我们高铁和飞机都不行。我给你演示一下，我们用这个APP来订票。现在是我们从重庆到西安，我们来订一张票，订一张过几天的票。
And what does it say?
然后就显示那个出票失败，说我已经被法院依法限制高消费。 限制乘坐G字头列车.
That's reserved for members of our Prime Flight program. You gotta be a 4.2 or over to qualify.
Oh, I'm a 4.2.
Mm-mm. I'm afraid you're actually a 4.183.
The very same kind of restrictions that will be imposed on people in the West who don't have the vaccine passport. Recall that Professor Neil Ferguson, one of the primary UK advisors whose warning of 500,000 dead led to our lockdown, expressed surprise that they were able to get away with mimicking the draconian measures taken by China in response to the pandemic. And according to the founder of data firm Panda, the Chinese government has even asked the WHO for permission to run a global vaccine passport system.
I'm motivated here by fear for what is going to happen to our world, to the fabric of our society. I'm worried about the future of my children. China is petitioning the World Health Organization to appoint it to run a global immune passport program. Now, if that doesn't scare the living daylights out of you, I do not know what will. That this kind of centralization, this kind of control, social credit systems, That's dystopia for you.
Prominent figures like Ian Brown, who publicly opposed the vaccine passport, are immediately targeted for cancellation by the mob. The most prominent supporter of vaccine passports from the very start was Tony Blair, who, as I'm sure you're aware, isn't noted for his moral beneficence. Journalists for mainstream news outlets like the LA Times' Harry Lipman are salivating at the prospect of imposing the vaccine passport to, quote, break the resistance down. Lipman's comment sounds like something an evil character in a dystopian thriller about a high-tech dictatorship would say. And that's precisely the point. The vaccine passport is the opening salvo of what eventually could become the Chinese social credit system mirrored in the West.
The vaccine passport platform is the same platform as a social credit system. In China, the CCP can find any dissident in 5 minutes because of the 360-degree surveillance of the social credit system. And it means that when you act like a good citizen, you get a boost. And when you act like a bad citizen, opportunities get closed to you. Maybe your child doesn't get into college or get into prep school. Maybe, you know, you don't get that job, you don't get that promotion. The vaccine passport that is being proposed in the rest of the West is the same platform. This is the most dangerous tool that humanity has faced in my lifetime, if not ever, in terms of human liberty.
So you don't have to be an ardent anti-vaxxer to realize what a horrific precedent the vaccine passport would set. Fine, get the vaccine. I'm sure it's perfectly logical for someone under the age of 50, who according to the CDC has a 99.98% chance of surviving COVID, to take the vaccine. But a vaccine passport, a digital ID card based on your level of compliance with government mandates, empowering the state to restrict the basic freedoms of those who, for whatever reason, don't fully comply, keeping millions of people under a de facto permanent state of lockdown, preventing them from enjoying basic leisure activities and God knows what else in the future. Don't forget, France even tried to pass a law banning those who didn't take the jab from using public transport. A German geneticist said people who refused the shot should be denied medical treatment. Canada's current chief public health officer appeared in a 2010 documentary in which she advocated using mandatory tracking bracelets for people who refused to take a vaccine after a virus outbreak.
If there are people who are non-compliant, there are definitely laws and public health powers that can quarantine people in mandatory settings. It's potential you could track people, put bracelets on their arms, have police and other setups to ensure quarantine is undertaken.
That's not just a vaccine passport. That's a two-tier society. That's a communist Chinese-style social credit score system for the West. Orwell rolls in his grave. The last thing you see after your social credit score hits zero, the government has suggested that they could reassure the public by promising to scrap vaccine passports after a year. And you can surely trust them, right? Just like you could trust them for months when they told us domestic vaccine passports were not even being considered. Now, we know as far back as December, the government was paying a Swiss company to research how the public would react to vaccine passports, while simultaneously telling the public they were off the table. They're now encouraging grandparents to scan their own family members' vaccine passports at home before agreeing to see them. This is reaching Mickey Mouse levels of absurdity. We're seeing more tweets like this, where grandparents and parents are refusing to let their own kids visit because they don't want to take the vaccine. The fabric of society is being further ripped apart as families become more atomized from each other. Oh, but Boris did us such a great favor. He vowed no vaccine passports to visit the pub. Yeah, not yet. They're already making sounds that that's gonna be readdressed in the future as well. And anyway, that's classic PR mind games. They frighten everyone with overwhelmingly draconian suggestions. Then we're supposed to be grateful when they relent just a little bit. And now every single person who visits a pub and a restaurant has to feed all their details into the NHS tracking database anyway.
What's your name?
Bill.
Bill.
Carr. Bill Carr.
But ironically, this could all get shot down before it even gets off the ground. Because as we know from the voter ID controversy currently raging in America, Having to show ID is racist. Seriously, this of all things, concern over racism is what actually could derail it. For example, there are at least 1 million illegal immigrants living in the UK. Very few of them are going to want to have any interaction with any authorities. So they're not going to get the vaccine, and they're not going to get the vaccine passport. Then you add in all the criminals who will behave likewise, and you end up with a figure in the multiple millions of people who will face daily discrimination because they don't have this vaccine passport. And we can't allow the precious illegals and criminals to face discrimination, can we? There was even talk that the government feared pubs would be too white if they mandated this vaccine passport for entry. So because of our country's obsession with coddling and caring for migrants more than Brits, the entire scheme could be sunk by our nation's insipid post-colonial self-loathing and white guilt. In summary, and to emphasize, it's not just a COVID certification system. It's a digital ID card. It's not just a vaccine passport. It's the embryonic beginnings of a Chinese communist-style social credit score for the West. Somehow, I don't believe the 80% in polls who say they support the vaccine passport system actually understand the true scope of what it entails. And given that it's looking like we'll see a vote on this in Parliament, it's time the UK government was honest with the British public about what's really being proposed here. It's absolutely crucial for you to help me fight the war on free speech by supporting me via Subscribestar, link in description, and also signing up for my free newsletter at summit.news/newsletter.
And what I want to do today is I want to give you 5 questions to ask your liberal peers who've jumped on this democratic socialism bandwagon. 5 questions that destroy the democratic socialist platform. And then I'm going to tell you why it's important to do this and to know this. So let's start. Question number 1 to ask your liberal peers: what's the difference between democratic socialism and just good old regular socialism? Define it. When government takes over the means of production and distribution, when government redistributes wealth, that's socialism, right? And when the government takes over people's profits through taxes and redistributes that money by giving away free stuff, that's democratic socialism. That's the same. The only difference is maybe, just maybe, in democratic socialism, the people choose socialism, and in regular old socialism, it's imposed on them. So, like, the difference between murder and suicide, the same end, you're dead. Question number 2. Where in the world has socialism ever worked? In Venezuela? As we speak, people are fleeing that country because there's no toilet paper on the shelves. I read a story about a month ago about a little girl, I think she was 10 years old. She was in the hospital for an infection that we would have just run to CVS or Walgreens for an antibiotic and not even missed a day of school. This kid landed in the hospital because there were no antibiotics available. And she only lived because the kid in the hospital room next door to her died, and his mom gave the little girl his leftover antibiotics. In Cuba, in the universal healthcare system there, you have to bring your own light bulbs and blankets to the hospital. The surgical instruments are rusty, and the elites fly to Western nations for their medical care. And then the left's favorites, you know, they, when we say Venezuela and Cuba, they scoff and tell us that that's not going to happen here. They point to Scandinavia. Guess what just happened in Denmark? They canceled their universal basic income experiment because it didn't work. Shocking, right? In Sweden, they turned their economy back towards capitalism decades ago when socialism was threatening to tank their entire country, their economy. In the Soviet Union, there is no better example of socialism than the Soviet Union. People used to stand for hours in line for a loaf of bread, and they ended up, you can see photographs of this in history books that the left does not want you to open, you can see photographs of them eating their own shoes because otherwise they would have starved. So where has socialism ever worked? Nowhere. Everywhere it's tried, it's brought oppression, starvation, and death. And that brings us to question number 3, the bridge between Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's democratic socialism and regular old socialism. Who pays for all of that free stuff that she's promising. I mean, it would be great. I'm not going to lie. If you look at what she's promising, who wouldn't want to have all of that disposable income, someone else paying for everything that you're doing? But who pays for it? I know, Wall Street, the top 1%. That's what she says. But even if you tax the top 1% at a 100% tax rate, it still would not pay for all the free stuff Bernie and Ocasio-Cortez are promising people. So what happens then? Well, you tax the rich, and once the rich aren't rich anymore, you tax the kind of rich. And once the kind of rich aren't kind of rich anymore, you tax the middle class. And once the middle class have been taxed to the point where they aren't the middle class anymore, well, then everybody's equal, right? Isn't that what we were going for? Equally poor, and the government is in charge of all of your money. So question number four, what's going to stop democratic socialism if there is a difference from turning into regular old socialism? Nothing. They cannot identify a line or a mark on this continuum of socialism that would stop it from moving from one end of the spectrum to the other. Once you give the government the power to tell people what to do, once government has the power to take our money and give it to somebody else, once the government has the power to tell us what our fair share is, it's just a matter of time before it's full-blown socialism. And so question number five is a question that it's a bit surprising to me that the left doesn't ask. I'm not talking about the radical leftist politicians. I'm talking about the voters. Why on earth do they not ask, why would we want that here? We all want fairness. Everyone in this room, I think, wants fairness. We want every person to get a fair shot and a fair opportunity. But in the past 100 years, 100 million innocent people have been killed by socialist and communist governments and regimes. Is that what democratic socialists want to happen here? So you guys know all of this stuff, right? Right, you know all this stuff. You know socialism is one of the deadliest ideologies the world has ever known. You know there is a difference between giving somebody a hand up and giving somebody a handout. Because a handout means you have to steal what's in your hand from somebody else's hand.
So I just want to read two articles for you. You know, people have said that the United States, and this is coming from the business community. This is coming from the big businesses around the world. They say that China is the new model. So the way China does its business is the way these big businesses want to do business in their countries and in the Western world. And you're hearing, whenever you hear people talk about infrastructure, we've got to invest in our future. That used to mean roads and bridges and things like that. But that's not what that means now. What that means is putting the United States in a position where we're advantaged because the Chinese are advantaged because the government invests in so much new technology. Well, that's fine and dandy, but we really haven't had a problem until the government started getting involved in everything. So your tax dollars are going to be directed into businesses and into future technology like solar panels, et cetera, et cetera. But the economy becomes controlled. This is Marxism and socialism and eventually communism, which, let's not forget, that's what China is, a controlled communist society that now has a capitalist market, if you will. Okay, so I want you just to listen to these two stories and tell me we're not already there. This is from Daily Mail Online. China launches an app for citizens to report anyone who has mistaken opinions. Released by China's cyber regulator, along with a similar hotline, the app aims to crack down on historical nihilists ahead of the party's 100th anniversary in July. An arm of the Cyberspace Administration of China said the app and hotline will allow and encourage netizens, instead of citizens, netizens, to report fellow internet users who spread mistaken opinions in order to create a good public opinion atmosphere. Now, such offenses would include distorting the party's history, attacking its leadership, its policies, defaming national heroes, and deny the excellence of advanced socialist culture online. Aren't we already there? By the way, here in America, the app is called Twitter. Distorting the party's history. If you mention anything at all about the history of the Democratic Party, you're a pariah. You're lying. You're a liar and lying lies about all the lies about the lying liars of the Democratic Party. You attack the leadership. If you said anything about Barack Obama, you're a racist. If you say anything about Joe Biden, you're just a Donald Trump Nazi. But they can say anything. If you defame the national heroes, well, who are our national heroes now? Don't you dare say anything about George Floyd. Don't you point out his record or anyone else that the evil police have gone off on or have killed one way or another. Don't talk about any of that. They're heroes. Or if you deny the excellence of advanced socialist culture. We're already there, gang. Except this one is being done specifically by the government, and the app is required for everyone to have. For now, for a while, they say some people have had ulterior motives, and they have spread this historically nihilistic false statements online, maliciously distorting, slandering, and denying party, national, and military history in an attempt to confuse people's thinking. We hope the majority of internet users will actively play their part in supervising society and enthusiastically report harmful information. Yavol. The notice didn't specify what punishments would be dealt with for people who are reported through the hotline. China already faces jail time. It will give you jail time if you're somebody online and you say something they don't like. You'll get legal punishments for posting content that is critical of the country's leadership, policies, or history. Anyone who insults, slander, or infringe upon the memory of China's national heroes and martyrs will go to jail for up to 3 years. By the way, they have punished at least 2,000 people who have had the wrong response to the coronavirus pandemic and questioned the authorities. Do you see how close we are to this? Now, let me give you a story that came out the first day. The same day. This came out yesterday. Alien is now non-citizen or migrant, and legal alien is now undocumented non-citizen, undocumented individual, or migrant, according to the Border Patrol. Immigration officials have now been directed to use new inclusive terminology to describe people who illegally cross the U.S. border seeking to establish new homes. Among the mandates is that border crossers can no longer be described as alien or illegals. The memorandum establishes updated language and aligns our communication practices with the Biden administration's guidance regarding immigration terminology. According to the new policy, alien is now non-citizen or migrant. The term illegal alien, undocumented non-citizen, undocumented individual or migrant. Elsewhere in the chart, assimilation is now integration or civic integration. They say the words we use matter. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. There is a great story that I read today from The Federalist. 10 politically correct but false words you need to stop using right now. They are changing our language and they are policing it, and it will become an app. It's only a matter of time.